This is my prayer in the desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith fruit of more earth than gold, so refine me, Lord, through the flame. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and
so good to come together and worship with you all this morning. You know, I just as we come together, you know, we know that God invited us all. You know, whether you think you just showed up on your own today, you know, and it's not true. God said, you know what, I went to church today. He gave you a divine invitation. Let's stand and worship this morning.
Thank you. drink from, no other fountain where living waters will flow. Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. Lifted high, there's no other like Jesus Christ. For my story, you're my everything. You are my glory, my God. My love. Stronger, I trust in no other name. Jesus, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. You are my life. May you be lifted up. There is no other. You are my story, you're my everything, you are my glory, my God and my King, you are my rock, and you never change, you never change.
My glory, my God and my King.
I know you guys know this one. You better sing it out and praise the Lord a lot. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name.
Every blessing.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Whoa, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious.
You give and take away. Here we go.
You give and take away. You give and take away. Choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Sing it out. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
God, as your people are here together, we just thank you that you paid our debt, that Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Lord, at this time now that we continue in our worship, as as we go ahead and we just worship you even all the more. Let us be in that same attitude as we now receive your tithe and our offerings, just a portion back as we continue to worship you, for you paid it all, Lord, and we thank you for that love that you have for us as we go ahead and extend the ministry that you've placed in our hands further. We ask that you use this and multiply it here and further your kingdom all around the world, that, Lord, we will just reach out to many in your name. In Christ's name we all pray. Amen.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. Cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on the way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. Thank God, saved with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts. Open doors. Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Jesus, friend of sinners, the one who's writing in the sand. Just turn away and the storms fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring the people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. But if we put down our signs, cross over the line, like you did. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open. Hearts know what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast. For the leper and the lame. They're the reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause. I was the outcast. God was sinners just like me. Reach for the leper at your feet. You are good, you are good, and your love endures forever. You are good, you are good, and your love endures forever. You are good. And your love.
That's right, you can move and breathe. Yeah. You won't get struck by lightning or anything. All right, at this time we're going to send, our children are going to go to our Haven Kids. Anybody else? Just two or three people around you, say hello to. Is that? All right, everyone. Good morning to everyone here.
Morning.
All right, great to see you. We are thrilled that you're here to worship on this March 24th, okay, the first Sunday of spring. All right. I don't know what that means. Still cold, so still works. But we do want to welcome everyone here, first of all. We do definitely believe that God brought you here. And we just want you to worship and relax. If this is your first time, welcome. Hopefully you received one of our connection cards. We'd love for you to fill that out. And you can just go ahead and fill it out and give it to one of our ushers or someone. We'll make sure that that gets in. We won't misuse that. We won't sell it to like a marketing person or anybody. We just want to know and have those connections. And to help you stay connected if that's what you like to. We also like to welcome those on Church Online, whether through the app or the web or also Facebook Live, so welcome to them. And so we have several other announcements that we have. The 21st of April will be our next Parish Foundation. Women's Group, they are meeting Tuesday nights here. And Grease Share is meeting on Wednesday evenings. This is a new one that we have in the bulletin for the first time, an Easter egg hunt. For all ages, all kids, 12 and under, and that'll be, you guys got really excited, didn't you? Yeah, so, all right, sorry, kids. Why is the grown man taking all my Easter eggs, Mommy? I have no clue, so. Anyway, it works. All right, and so Miriam's Table Outreach, so we're accepting them for the next couple weeks, but if you, again, that is Miriam's Table, and there are some of those loaf banks out there. The bread banks, you can fill them up with anything and bring them back, and we'll help with Miriam's Table. We can definitely go ahead and do that. Those who want to be connected in the host team, we'd love to have that connection. And also there is a women's Sunday morning Bible study. If you'd like to be part of that as well, you can read that information. We are still updating the church database. This is one of those things that people see and totally forget about. But if you've never been part of the church database, it's a good time to get on there. If you've been part of it, but you've moved several times, please go ahead and fill that out unless you're trying to hide from somebody. But we want to go ahead and update those situations as well. National Day of Prayer will be coming, and there will be a service on, and we'll be talking about that more so on Thursday, May 2nd. And also on the 12th of April, right, we're going to have an evening here. We'll talk more about that as well. Again, Haven's Helping Hands, Miriam's Table is the insert in here. We would love for you to connect with that and other things as well. And please, as always, check our the online calendar and see where we are here. We have a couple prayer requests that we have today for Pastor Luke with cancer. And so want to pray for them. Chuck Gregg is coming home from the hospital after open heart surgery, and that's from Phyllis Davis, and we lift in prayer. Joanna Shea, for all those in recovery and for those to find the path and for those to stay on the path to recovery. Okay, so we want to continue to lift those up in your prayers. Another couple prayers we do want to continue to lift up our fellow church family and the Barbara Blakely, who many of you may know Patty Miller, Patty Smith Miller, and Jenny. It's their sister. She passed away last week, and we had a celebration of her life. Also, a lady who I got to know really well in Claymont, Nancy Yoder. Nancy Yoder, I was in an early Bible study. She was a great lady, and after years of fighting cancer, succumbed to it this morning, went home to be with the Lord. So we thank God for her life, but we also just want to ask that you be with her two young boys. Her one son will be graduating high school this year. Her son's in college, and be with her husband Matt and her mother Nancy and her brother Eric and her sister as well during this time of loss. She fought hard, spent much of those years with one leg because of losing that to cancer, and now she has the victory in Christ. So we want to go ahead and continue to lift her in your prayers, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we lift up these prayer concerns, these needs, we know that you have all things in the palm of your hand. And so God, for those who have passed on from our world to heaven, God, we just thank you for their lives, and we pray that they will meet you and say, well, you'll hear that voice, well done, our good and faithful servant. And so, God, just be with those who are experiencing loss, be those who are experiencing struggling with illness and sickness, and God, be with us as we are still to be your hands and feet until you call us home. We all have so many different areas that we're going. We have a lot of struggles, a lot of challenges, a lot of joys, a lot of a mixture of everything, God, and by the second it may change. But ultimately we pray that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, that we can attach ourselves to you and we can see the miracles happen here today. And so God, we give you praise for all that you're going to do in each of our lives and so many others. As Father, we head forward now and we open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us here today. And so, Jesus, just speak to us. Those words that you did, as we're in the series of those famous last words, those last words that you gave on the cross so long ago, God, they were important things. And may we have a renewal of these today in our lives so that we can go ahead and live as you would call us to do. For that, we give you praise and empower us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen.
Good morning. This morning's readings is from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The words of our Lord.
right if you're not ready for this message now. I don't know what you'll be ready for, right? Makes you want to run, doesn't it? No? Okay, so I don't know. Makes me want to run. All right. Everybody good? Yep. You good? Yep. All right, awesome. Okay, we are continuing. We are in our second week of this series called Famous Last Words. Famous Last Words. And we are dealing and talking about the last words of Jesus on the cross. Our theme verse actually does not come from the cross, but it comes from Hebrews. Let's look at the theme verse. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. That's awesome, because that means that Jesus dealt with the same stuff that we did. It says what? Study how he did what? How he did it. Okay, we can learn from him by watching and seeing, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. And I love this verse, because some of you may have some people in your life that you don't know whether you can do this. But he could put up with how much? Anything along the way. He can put up with anything along the way. What did he put up with? The cross, shame, whatever. Everybody say whatever. Whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God, or as some translations say, at the right hand of God the Father, that place of honor. And what is he there for? He's going on your behalf. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Because otherwise, you might have been parted with a lightning bolt, like me, all right? So he's there. He's like, hey, Daddy, you don't understand. I understand this. I've been there. I know what he's going through. Hey, remember, I paid the price. So that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. All right, so today we're going to look a little bit more into this. Last week we spent some time in dealing with the first words of the cross, that here is Jesus. He's gone ahead. He's been beaten. And we kind of just say that very flippantly. He's been beaten, meaning that the layers of his skin were torn off through what was probably a cat of nine tails, with bits of bone, glass, sharp rocks, and everything else. Tacitus, the Roman historian, talks about the fact how good a Roman soldier who was in charge of flogging was. And he actually gives a historical deal about how he, from the neck down, would strip a criminal of his first layer of skin, up and down, and that with 39 blows, and he was so skilled that the 40th blow would be the death blow. And so that's how skilled they were at torturing and killing people. And so Jesus went through that. He carried the crossbar part, and then he gets to the part where the upright is, and they place him on there, and the first thing he says was what we learned last week, was he says, Father, forgive them. And we learned last week that what Jesus wants us to do is to forgive everyone who is trying to ruin your life. Now, hopefully you may have had an opportunity this week where somebody was trying to ruin your life and you could put it to use. Anyone have an opportunity to do that? Forgive someone who's trying to ruin your life. Well, hopefully you did, and hopefully you didn't beat them, okay? So that's part of it. So as we continue today we are going to go ahead and we're going to talk about the second words that Jesus gave. And we're going to talk about help in the struggle. Help in the struggle. Now, let me ask a question. Has anybody ever had a bad day? All right. Now, one of the things that we've been talking about is that Pastor Jack Hafer, many years ago, wrote a book, and they actually changed the name of it, but it was called How to Live Through a Bad Day. And what he did, he used the crucifixion of Christ. And I don't think anybody's had as bad a day as Jesus did that time, right? And he said, let's learn from Jesus how we can live through these bad days. So today, we're going to talk about how to have help in the struggle. And so what we have here, most of the time when you see like a symbol, you'll often see a cross, and it may have two other crosses next to us. Anybody seen that? That comes from this section of Scripture. Doesn't mean that there's only three. It just means that Jesus was placed in between these individuals. Often what would happen, the Romans would have crucifixion day, and they would line several crosses up, and they would crucify people across. Some of you might remember Ben-Hur going back in the day and seeing like, and it was always on a roadway so that you could go ahead and take a look. So let's look at Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, our verse today. And it says this, one of the criminals, so he's between two criminals, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, meaning Jesus. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. So in other words, he's like, oh, yeah, you're really the Messiah. Look at you. You're up here. You're up here, and guess what? You're no better than us. So he's hurling insults. The other, on the other side says this. The other said, rebuked him and said, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. Then he says this, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Remember, last week we talked about Jesus' trial was illegal by both Jewish and Roman tradition. He had several trials overnight. Nowhere is that able to be done or should have been done, but he was set up. He had people who were paid to bear false testimony. And then he said to Jesus, he turns to Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Now, I want to go back a second. Can we go back here? The remember me here, I highlighted that because I really want you to look at that section. This is kind of going to be the basis for where we're headed today. In the midst of his struggle, he reaches out to Jesus. And there's many around us who I think need help, and need us. And there may be some people here today that may feel like God has forgotten you. That you haven't been remembered. And so here's what I think is incredible, this next section. This next section here, it says, and Jesus answered him. Here's the second thing he says that's recorded off the cross. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. I love that because keep in mind, Jesus is in no position to help anyone at this moment, correct? He has been beaten. He has been nailed to a cross. He is in a compromised position, even to the point that artwork or Hollywood has not fully depicted him because he would have been naked there, showing his vulnerability. Here he is and with a crown of thorns on him, and you have two thieves on the cross in the same condition as him, and one says to him, remember me, and he says, hey, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, many of us would say, like the other guy, the first guy, you don't look in any shape to be doing anything for anyone. Am I right? And some of us would say that. But I find what's so interesting here, in the midst of Jesus' worst suffering and worst struggle, he finds out that he has a fellow struggler in the midst of this. And through this, Jesus teaches us an important second principle. And if you do this, it will work in amazing ways. So what are we going to talk about here? What are we going to talk about? Our second principle today is help others who are experiencing your same struggle. Help others who are struggling with you. In other words, when you're having a bad day or a bad month, or for some of us it may seem a bad life, change the focus from me to someone else who is struggling so that you can help, right? Change that. Now, some of us like to help, and sometimes when you help people, it gets a little bit laborious, am I right? Like, for instance, there was a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put his boots on. Anybody ever worked with kindergarten kids or anything? Okay, that can be a little bit challenging. So he asked for help, and she could see why. So with her pulling and pushing, the boots didn't want to go on. So when the second boot was finally on and she had worked up this incredible sweat, she almost whimpered when the little boy said, teacher, they're on the wrong feet. She looked and she was like, oh, no, they are. So she struggled and pulled them off and got them off. And she held her cool, though she was a little bit frustrated, thinking, who in the world would give this kid boots that don't even fit? And she's feeling that. So she struggles again. And she struggles, gets him on, finally has him on, and he goes, teacher, those aren't my boots. To which she held everything in again and was like, why didn't you tell me? But she didn't. She went ahead, she pulled them off again and got them off and put them down. And he goes, they're my brothers. My mom made me wear them today. She goes, why didn't he tell me again? So she starts again. She shoves that foot in. It just seems like it won't go. Feels like his toes are all crammed in there. And she gets them all on. And then she goes, okay, son, now where are your mittens? And he said, I stuck them in my boots. All right. How many of us have felt that way when we're helping someone? that when we help them, it's difficult and it gets messed up, and then we help them again and then it's more messed up and it influences us and it makes us aggravated and frustrated. Anybody who's there. Of course, sometimes it's not easy often to help others. But I want to share with you early on three things that if we embrace them, that this principle will do with helping others. Let's look at the first one. The first thing that happens when we help others in our own, when we're in our own struggle, is it distracts us from our own needs. It distracts us from our own struggle when you help someone. You notice how, like, when you help someone, like, have you ever been struggling, like, in the midst of, like, your struggle is about how bad the traffic is? Anybody been really aggravated with traffic? Come on, let's be honest. Let's have confession. Anybody ever have road rage? Okay, come on. Let's be honest. Okay, so in that predicament, you may have this deep struggle, and let's say you see somebody who needs help changing a tire. Do you forget about the traffic when you get out and help somebody? Do you? Some of you say, I don't help anybody. I want to get to where I'm going, right? So, but sometimes when we help somebody, we forget where we're going. Or if we're in such a hurry and we got to get there and somebody falls and hurt themselves and we stop and help them, we forget about our own struggles by helping someone else. Now, one of the things that may shock you is I am human and I have some issues, okay? Now, I'll let that settle in a little bit. But I can tell you that there are times in my life that when I'm helping someone else, I forget the struggle that I'm in. Like, sometimes I've been sick and not felt well at all. I remember several years ago where I just felt really bad. It was actually my birthday, and it was on Sunday. And I woke up that morning with, like, 100-degree temperature. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I don't remember the sermon. It could have been really good, could have been really bad, depending on that. And thank God for Zofran. I took that. My stomach was good, so I didn't throw up on anybody. It was awesome. So in doing that, I remember, and I've had several times in ministry where, like, I know that there's something that I have to do, that God has a task for me. And I kind of, when I get in this zone, put that stuff aside. There was one time many, many years ago where we used to have this ministerium at Thanksgiving, and they would have a Thanksgiving service, a combined Thanksgiving service. And I remember going to the church, and when I walked, I had just come from an Emmaus closing gathering, and on my way there, I started feeling bad, and I could feel, like, that temperature rising, you know what I mean? Like, you get sweaty and clammy, and you just... Now, what we had decided is that there was, like, four pastors, and we had decided that every pastor was going to speak for 5 minutes. Let me tell you something. Pastors are liars. Nobody ever speaks for 5 minutes if you're clergy. I don't care what denomination you are. They all talk more than that. And I was second to last on the schedule. And I was like, oh, Jesus, please can we get this done with? Because the first one comes up, I said, okay, 5 minutes? No. He spoke for 15 minutes. Next person decided to top him at, like, 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I am going to die here. So it came my time. We're now about an hour into this. I stood up and I said this. I said, all I know is right now I feel horrible. And I said, and I feel really sick. And so I'm going to give you the best 5 minutes that God and I have. And so here we go. And it was like the Spirit of God came upon me. I spoke for 5 minutes. I know you don't believe that at all. I know you think I'm lying. But when I'm sick, I spoke for 5 minutes. I shared for 5 minutes. God gave me something. And I remember at the point, and I knew God shut me down in 5 minutes because I started feeling ill again. And I said something, and I said to them, and I feel horrible, and I am going to walk right out this door and head home. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. I got down. I walked straight out. I got in my car. I didn't get up till 3 o'clock the next day. Hallelujah, right? But it was the best 5 minutes of my life because God needed me to give something to people that were there. And I went two weeks with a gallbladder issue, and I preached, and I did a funeral. I did two sermons and a funeral during that time. And on my way to the funeral, I remember telling the funeral director called me and he said, where are you? And I said, I'm about 5 minutes out. And I said, I feel so bad. If you have an extra box, can you throw me in it? That's exactly what I said to him. I did the funeral, did that, came home and took morphine. Hallelujah. Thank God for morphine. And I slept the rest of the day. Okay? You with me here? Because what I realized is that in my life, you guys help me Because I know that even at times in my own personal struggle and my own human issues, that God has something that he recognizes you're struggling with, and the message that he's given to me is so that I can bring it to you. So you help me. Like, for instance, we just did a relationship series. There have been times when I have done relationship series that my own personal relationship with my wife, she's not very happy with me. Any men say amen? Okay, so when that happens, it's not often because I'm wonderful, right, dear? Okay, there we go. So, all right. But in the midst of that, you stand up here and you're talking about the love of God and how great relationship is, and she's looking at you like, sucker, wait till we get home and you do that honey-do list, right? So you have those things, but it helps us at times, it helps me at times to suck up my pride and apologize and go ahead and try to, so you've actually helped me because I know you need whatever God's going to bring you in my struggle, so I want to clean up my struggle, so I'm not looking at her first front row like she's looking at me right now, okay? Everybody with me here, you understand what I'm saying here? And so it helps us. We can work those things out quicker. So that's the first thing that it does. It helps us, it distracts us from our own needs. The next thing is, it helps us see the solution. It helps us see the solution. Over 24 years, I have been in numerous counseling areas. And when I've sat down with people, there have been some times where I'm like, I don't know how you can't get it. It's very easy. A plus B equals C. All you have to do is this. It's simple. Do it. And often what happens, the people come back in a couple months and they ain't done none of it. And I'm like, you didn't do what I said. You need to do this. And I promise you, it'll be better. It'll be good. Because guess what? When somebody else has issues, you can easily see the answers, correct? Anybody been there? You're good at giving out advice. You can find the solution. But if you have that same exact problem and situation in your life, you don't know what to do. Am I right? And you're just paralyzed to do that. When we help others in the struggle, we can say, oh my gosh, that's the answer. Maybe if I do what I say, rather than just telling other people to do that, that can help. That can help me. So this happens time and time again, because often what happens, our pain and our hurt blind us from what's going on around us. It blinds us. So that's why we need to have a focus not just on me and my situation, because sometimes when we focus on us and our situation, you can't see the, quote, forest because of the trees. You know what I mean? And that's what happens. So that's why we need to do that. When helping others, we need to start saying, maybe I should take my own advice. My counselors, I have a great counselor, and she's very funny at times, and she laughs at me because I will say something to her, and as she's giving me the answer, I will give her the answer she's giving to me. And she says, you crack me up, you know the answers, but you just won't do it. I said, I know, I'm hard-headed. That's why I'm paying you to be here, so to help me. So it's one of those amazing situations that you have in life. And the third thing that it does here, it allows us to put everything in perspective. It allows us to put things in perspective. When you have a bad day, it's hard to get perspective on anything. Your song kind of in these situations, you wake up in the morning, you're like, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Right? Sometimes we end up like that. We feel like we're the only person going through this, don't we? We feel like we're alone and we're just going through the motions. And what we need to do, when we feel all alone, the best thing that we can do is be intentional about being involved in others who are in a struggle, because when we're involved in that struggle, it gives us a new perspective on things. It helps us see things differently. This is one of the main reasons. It's one of the main reasons why we do missions work at this church, whether it is to the addictions community. Do you realize there wasn't a halfway house when we first got involved? And now I talked to Pastor Phil the other day. There are several in our community. That is awesome. And I remember the first day Shelly stood up here and said, hey, they're looking for a house. Boom, it happened. Right, Shelly? And miracles began to happen. And now there's several because it gave us a different perspective. I sat with Pastor Phil at the beginning and said, I don't understand the addiction process, but I want to. And he said, that's all we need. And from that point, we joined together, and God has done some amazing things because I have a different perspective on it now. We do missions work to those who are in our community the homeless, and we also do those to people overseas. We've done several ever since. We didn't even have a building. We were over in the middle school, and we were involved in missions and the rotating shelter. Why? Because it gave us a different perspective. And I know, Joanne, when you started that ministry, you and Debbie, you were not looking to become the people that were on the phone all the time with people who are homeless in our community, right? But it happened, and you had a love for them because God gave you a different perspective on who these people are, right? And so it always infuriates me, and that's the proper term, when people don't see the reason why we do mission. We went ahead and read a book and did a study, a church-wide study called Radical. Remember it? Because I got to tell you, I used to pray regularly, Lord God, do not send me in the mission field because I like cable television. All right? That is a very selfish prayer. Don't do that, okay? And I remember, and then we started doing Radical, and here's this, the youngest megachurch pastor saying, I'm not doing what God's told me to. What about the least of these? And it started to change my heart and my mind, and I went on a mission trip, and when I went on a mission trip, I wanted to go there, and there was people with us who were great people, but they were like, I've been on 10 mission trips, I've done this, and this is great, and I was like, that's good, but something in my spirit said, no, I have placed you here, and when I began to talk with the group, they said, no, how can we help here? And since that time, God's placed us in a community that when they needed water, they had to use a 5-gallon bucket, and in just a year of us connecting with them, there are now almost 2 years, a year and a half, there are 3 Haven Community Churches. They are doing literacy classes for people who are illiterate. They are feeding people. They have a generator, generators. They have a well. They have all this kind of stuff. I don't care whether they're American or not. They're children of God, and God gave me a different perspective on who they are, and more importantly, whose they are. And if we have a problem with it, we got to get our perspective right. Because we don't understand the struggle. When I still remember getting on that bus and after a long trip and coming through an area at dark and seeing people who had nothing and realizing they weren't just out there. This is where they live. And I remember a very silent bus. And if you know anybody who's been on our trips, they ain't silent. And I remember tears streaming down people's faces. Carol, right? Because you've seen it with different eyes. You begin to see people with the eyes of Jesus, not our own eyes. When we are in our own struggle, doesn't mean that my struggles here changed. Because I can tell you, when we got back after that first trip, we had the whole situation of Charlottesville and the racism that's in this country. That's a struggle. That's a real struggle that we deal with. Doesn't mean one struggle is better than the other. What it means is that we can see each other through the eyes of Christ. Everybody with me here? You good? Everybody good? All right. So that's what we do. It gives us a different perspective. You know, I always love some of the older people that I've been in ministry with over the years, that when they've been dying, I remember there's a couple older ladies, and their health was horrible, and they're on their deathbed, and I'm talking to them. And I said, how you doing? And they'd say, I'm better off than most. They're dying, right? Not many people now say, I'm dying, I'm better off than most. But they would say that, I'm better off than most. And regardless of however we think, when we have a different perspective on the world, guess what? We are better off than most in this world. We are better off. And I'm thankful to God about that. And Jesus, here he is. He is bleeding. He's suffering. He's dying on a cross. And he looks to a fellow struggler and he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, God loves when we are in the midst of our struggle and we reach out to others who are struggling. And I want to show you this in Scripture, in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 58. It says this, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. In other words, if you're hungry and you're needy, but you take what God has given you and you help in what you have. Look what it says here. Then, and in your own dark area, in your own struggle, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. In the midst of your struggle, it'll get brighter. In the midst of your struggle. The Lord will guide you always. And then it says, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Now, here's what I think's awesome. You ain't watering the garden. You're watering somebody else's garden. Isn't that cool? That what he says, when you in your struggle, take what God has given you and give it to someone else and help them, that what's going to happen is God's going to water your garden. So by when you connect to somebody else and give in their struggle and don't keep your struggle to yourself, when you help in that, then guess what? You get better. You have something even better, and you will shine like the noonday. Isn't that awesome? I think that's really good. So our biblical principle is simply this. We have needs. And if we're faithful to others, then we can live out, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added as well. It doesn't say seek all the other things and then righteousness and kingdom. It says seek his kingdom, his righteousness, and then he will add others as well. I would rather have God take care of me than me take care of me, because God never fails. That's why we do what we do as a church. You know, Haven Community Church, I've never wanted the church, and I'm thankful, to be focused inward, but to do what is required for us to continue in ministry so that we can do for others. I've always been shocked and hurt and amazed when I've gone, years ago I was part of the United Methodist Church, and they would play this thing called musical chairs called the itinerant system, and I was always shocked that when I went to a church, I remember when I went to this church in Lewis, a great group of people, but I remember I followed a pastor there that they had some financial troubles, and they had $20,000, a big church, $20,000. I know this sounds like a lot, but for the size of this church, it was not much, in mission, and because of the financial struggles, they cut the missions budget. This was in July. They were almost $50,000 in debt, and they had this $20,000 off of that. And I remember just believing that God was going to change. And when we got to October, not by me, but by the grace of God, we not only were up, but we made a decision as a church to go ahead and take $20,000 and pay those missions. And we did that. And I remember one lady said, "Oh, I am so glad. We should have never cut that." And I said, "I'm going to tell you something. As long as I'm here, we never will. We never will, because when we become inward focused, we don't trust God to meet those needs. And churches have continually cut missions when they need to expand those. That's why at this church, Haven Community Church, I want to show you some of our four covenants that we go through every time as a church. If you go through a membership class, you have these things. If people say, what does Haven stand for? Haven stands for no, grow, serve, and share. Everybody say that together. No, grow, serve, and share. Because I want you to know the membership covenant, which is being connected and committed to a family, Christ and the church. And we use this verse of scripture, you are members of God's own family. You need a family to belong to, and that's what I want this place to be, a family. Guess what? In your family, do you have some struggles at times? In your family, do we have joys at times? Yeah, we are a family, and that's what we need. Next, grow. If you're the same way today as you were when you walked in this door, then I'm not doing my job, and we're not doing our job as a church. We want you to grow as Christians in the commitment to have habits and to knowledge for necessary growth. Look what it says in 2 Peter. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3, serve. It's the ministry covenant that we want you to serve. How do we do that? We go ahead and we want to find your giftedness. God has gifted you in a way, and we want to connect you to that. And the last thing is to share. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. That doesn't mean you go out with an 80-pound Bible and hit people across the head with it and say, you're going to burn in hell, sinner friend. No, that's not what we do. Sometimes it's just being somebody that is present for them and letting them know that you love the Lord. This is very quick, but this is what we exist for, to know, grow, serve, and share. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians here. It says, all praise to God the Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah. Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. Look what it says here. He comes alongside us. Jesus does not leave us alone, but he comes alongside us when we go through the hardest times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times. So when you're struggling, Jesus comes alongside, and he does that to empower you so that you can go alongside somebody else. We're not made to be alone. So that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah. but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. What does that say? That says you're going to have bad stuff happen. You're going to have bad days, but no more than the good stuff that you have with Christ. We get a full measure of that too. When we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and your salvation. If we are treated well, given a helping hand and encouraging word, that also works to your benefit. So that means when you're having that crappy day, don't let people know you're having a crappy day. Don't be grumpy and nasty, right? Oh, I'm stepping on my own toes right now. Spurring you on, face forward, unflinching. Listen to what it says here. Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as enjoy the good times. Somewhere along the line in Christendom, we got this idea that when we say I do to Jesus, that all problems should go away. If you read the book, every single one of those first followers of Jesus, besides Judas, he did his own thing, and except for John, died a martyr's death. They died probably worse than if they just remained fishermen and tax collectors where they were. But they did it with joy for the kingdom of God, all right? Because they knew that it was different. We need to endure hard times because we know that you're going to make it. Look at the person next to you and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's no doubt about it. So now you're saying to me, you say this. You say, Jack, I'm convinced. Okay, I got to reach out to somebody. How do I do this? So let me share with you a couple primary ways. And this, I don't believe this is on in your bulletin, but I want to share this. God put a spiritual gift inside you. And so how do we minister to people? We minister to people through our gifts and our passion. We have a spiritual gift that God has given to us. And here's the thing about it. Statistics show 87% of Christians, 87% of Christian believers never, ever figure out what their spiritual gift is. 87% of Christians never experience what their gift and their passion is. And so it's tragic because if you don't know what it is, you can't do it. And if you don't do it, then somebody else can't get the benefit of it, and then your garden can't be watered. So it's a lose-lose-lose all around. That's why you need to know your spiritual gift. And we have spiritual gift classes that we've done. We have them. You can take one today online and get a deal so that you can know and be in the zone where God called you so that when you're having your bad day, you're giving to others in your giftedness and your passion. How many of you have ever done a job that is not your passion? I clean toilets at Elk Neck State Park. Not my passion, just to let you know. And some of those campers are absolutely disgusting. Can you hit the bowl, please? That's what I'm saying, all right? Yeah. All right? That was not my passion. I was like, oh, yeah, he missed the bowl all over the wall. Really? Okay. No, not my passion. But when you're in your passion in your zone, it's never work, right? It's a joy. And that's what we need to be in the midst of this. And the second thing that we kind of miss out on in gifts and passion is we minister in our mess-ups and our imperfections. Many of us have disqualified ourselves because we messed up in an area. We say, no way God can use me, no way possible that you can use me. Who is better than someone who's been through something? You paying attention to me here? Like, for instance, who could help me through the struggles or help you through the struggles of divorce than somebody who's gone through divorce and seen God bring new fruit and healing in that area? Who can help someone in a situation of abuse more than someone who has seen the grace of God bring them through that situation of abuse? Who can help someone that has had a miscarriage more than someone who has been through those situations? Who can help someone, and I've seen it time and time again, with the loss of a child, than someone who has been through that and seen the grace of God carry them through that pain each and every day of life? You see, your ministry is your mess up. Look at the other person next to you and say, you're messed up. And say, I thank God. I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Because your mess ups have power in it. There is purpose. God puts purpose in your pain. God puts purpose in your pain. I got to tell you, I don't like talking to perfect people. You ever talk to perfect people? They are the most annoying people on the planet Earth. All of us have issues, and if you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. You say, okay, Jack. All right. So how do you want to wrap this up? I want to take this second statement that Jesus gave, and I want to unpack it a little bit as we wrap this up in the next 2 minutes or so. I'm not sick today, so it might be 10. I don't know. All right. So. And I want to give this to you from Luke 23. Here we go. How do we do this? How do we help others? What Jesus did, he offered them stability. Look what he said here. I love the King James here. Assuredly, I say to you. Assuredly simply means this. Guess what? In this condition, I don't know much going on, but I can tell you this, definitely. Assuredly. What about the old hymn? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, everything else is going on, but blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know why it's good to know that? Because everything around us is shifting and changing. The world shifts and change and moves and adjusts, but Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I, the Lord your God, do not change. Those are good things to know in a world that is always shifting and changing. The one unchanging thing is, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In Psalm 40, verse 2, one of the greatest hymns, and if you're a U2 fan, you can sing it to yourself. All right, here we go. He lifted me out of the slimy bog, a slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he made my footsteps what? Gave me a firm place to stand. He gave me a firm place to stand. Our culture shifts and changes, and one second we think that we have a firm footing on something, and the next thing we start sinking. And then we think we're going to put it in a person, and then we think we're going to put it in an ideology, and then we think we're going to put it in a political movement, and then we think we're going to put it into a philosophy. And every time we're left wanting, unless we put ourselves rooted in Jesus Christ. Number two, he offered them, and we need to offer them support. He said, today you will be with me today. You see, Jesus journeys with us. He doesn't leave us alone. He comes alongside us. He's there with us. He not only shows us the way, but he's going with us. You know, you were never, ever meant to do life alone. That's why you need to connect in small groups. That's why you need to have people that you can go ahead and consider. I love the fact that I've been around this church since the beginning, and I've seen people who had no clue who each other were become some of the closest friends. I've seen people bear with loss. I've seen people bear with divorce. I've seen people deal with health struggles. I've seen people who are part of our church that have made this church become what it is. I've seen them dying, and I've seen people journey with them, that we still miss them to this day. But guess what? We journeyed, and we were with them time and time again. Because today, you'll be with me. You'll be with me. You know, we have lots of different curriculums, and a lot of times, and we will after Easter, have a small group study that we try to do for the church. It's just not to say, hey, guess what? We're doing a small group study. Everybody join. It's not what we're doing. Honestly, I got to tell you, we have financial things. We've had mission things. We've had all kinds of things. I got to tell you, really, honestly, I don't care what the curriculum is. Most importantly, I want you to get together. And I want you to start to do life together. To me, that's the most important. Because when you do life together, then you get an ideology of what God wants you to do. Guess what? I'm not going to be the only person standing in my corner of heaven, just me and Jesus. You know? It's not the Jericho Road that nobody's there, just me and Jesus. No, that's not how heaven is. Heaven is, look around you. This might be several of the people that are going to be there with you. Some of you are like, oh, really? Right? Some of you are like, I want to hang out with that one. Okay? So, there are some people in your lives who are Christians that are going to be there, but thank God God's going to clean them up a little bit, right? Okay? So we're going to have that. He says, today you will be with me. And there's story upon story upon story. I heard a story of another church this past week of a small group that one of the members ended up coming down with cancer. And immediately after his treatment, he began to lose his hair. And everybody in that group, male and female, his wife included, shaved their head to go along with him. I thought that was awesome, and I was thankful I wasn't part of that small group. Hallelujah. All right. But just joking. Okay, not really. But I like my hair. Okay. But what I'm saying is that is togetherness. And that's what the church needs to do. I am so tired of division in the church. I've had enough of it. And if that's what you want, there's the door. It doesn't glorify God, and it doesn't make anybody happy. Am I right? Anybody with me? Okay. All right. The last thing that he offers, we need to offer, is we need to offer them eternity in paradise. Now, I could get into a deep theological, but paradise is particularly not heaven, but just go with me at this point, because Jesus did not return to heaven. It's a section, but if you want to talk about that later, we can go to that. But it's a better place than hell right here. Okay, just go with that. It's a good place. It ain't hell. It's a good place where the righteous people went at this point. Here's the thing. You and I are eternal beings in physical, temporary bodies. And after I take my last breath, after you take your last breath, based off of what I did with Jesus in my life and what I did with his call, my reservations are two ways, smoking or non-smoking. I'm either going to be with him or I'm going to some place I don't want to be. That's the reality of it. Now, I'm not going to get all Baptist and Pentecostal and hit you over the head right now and say dangle you over the fires of hell, but it's real. And I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't share that. And so we are dealing with eternity things. So every time we talk here, every time you climb out of your bed tired on Sunday morning, we are talking about eternity here. And every time you don't share Christ with that person in your life, we're talking about eternity. And when we don't share Christ with people, we're pretty much telling this, go to hell. That's the reality. If we don't care enough to rescue somebody from the pit of hell, and to tell them about Jesus. If we don't say, today I want you with me, then that's what we're honestly saying. And how do we get there? We need to offer them a Savior. And there's only one. His name is Jesus. You see, we can go through the struggle and others can go through the struggle, but here's the reality. Heaven's coming. Heaven's coming. And I can't wait to be there. God, you know what I found out that's interesting in the scripture? All the struggles the disciples and others had, Jesus could have fixed this situation, but he never did. He didn't fix the situation often because he knew heaven was coming. He knew heaven's better. The promise is what's there. In this last scripture lesson, as our worship team comes up today, look at what Jesus said. In this point where the disciples were struggling, right before Jesus is getting ready to go, here's what he said. He said, hey, I know this is getting bad, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? I am going there to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't fix their situation, doesn't fix their struggle, doesn't make it better for them? What does he do? He points them to something different. In other words, he gives them a new destination. Here's the destination. This is where you need to head. I tell you, this is not great here. This is not going to be the best. I came that you may have the fullness of life here, but it's going to get better. So today when I heard that this person that I grew very close to, you see, Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers a better destination. And so when I heard right before this, when my father called and told me that Nancy had passed away in her early 50s, there's that part of me that said, oh, Lord, man, why couldn't you just heal her? Why couldn't you let her live to be 80s or 90s? When I look at my friends who die suddenly, and when I've done a funeral of a baby in a little baby casket, I say, God, there's nothing right about this. When I see the struggles that parents and relationships go through, I'm like, God, give me the magic words to heal all this. And I don't have those magic words. I got to lean back to say that Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers us a better destination. So those struggles you're going through, they ain't going away. Matter of fact, if you go to Walmart after this, you're going to get some more. But thank God there ain't Walmart or any other mart in heaven. Hallelujah. No, we get to be with Jesus where the smorgasbord's always open and not 1 pound is gained. Where God takes the stuff that we find valuable, like gold, and uses it as asphalt. Where those that I love before and I don't understand why they're gone, I get to see. Because they loved him. Because somebody offered them a savior. Somebody took time in the midst of their struggle to say, let me tell you about Jesus, because today I want you with me. I don't know what you need to hear today, but I'm telling you today what I'm offering you the Savior. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Let's stand as we pray. You said, today you will be with me in paradise. And so, God, we're claiming that people in the sound of my voice who have been through the struggles of life, they continue to struggle. They continue to deal with all things in life and say, what's next? That God, today we can stop and recognize that that's going to continue on. But oh God, you may not take them out of the situation. The situation may not go away, but you're pointing them to something greater and better, because we are eternal beings in the image of our Savior, in the image of God, and we are headed to a better destination. God, in this life, let us join together in our struggle. Let us recognize that we need each other and that you put purpose to our pain, so that in this dry, arid world that is continually just sucking the life out of us, that Father, as we share with others in the midst of our struggle, that we will be well watered by your Holy Spirit. So today, God, if there is someone here who does not know you, I want to tell you today there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he paid every price that he could pay for you and for where you missed the mark. And all he wants to do is have your messed up life the way it is. But he loves you way too much to leave you in that situation. Just call on his name and say, Jesus, I don't have any of this figured out. My life's a mess. Your life may be on one of those good days, but something in your spirit today is telling you, I need Jesus. Just open up your heart and your life to him. Yeah, there's altars open here, but if you just want to do that where you are, that's awesome. But tell somebody, because you're not made to do this alone. God, I'm going to shut up because that was a long 5 minutes. But God, I ask that you move more powerfully and mightily in this room and in the sound of my voice. As someone right now is watching online, God, and is broken and not found any bit of purpose in their pain. Surround them in your love. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't stop now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine.
In the deeper waters, the struggle gets easier. Very few people drowned in a teacup of water, right? The deeper we go, the struggles and the storms are going to be there, right? And they mean a little bit more. So as you go through there, recognize, let God use that struggle. Next week, again, one of the most popular verses that Jesus gave is, and we're going to deal with this, my God, why? Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. Anybody ever said that? And next week, we're going to talk about that. Grace, have an awesome week, and Jesus, say hi to somebody on your way out. God bless.